गदाधर शिव पद गौर भक्त वृंद Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, ಜನರಂಜನ I'm
Jai Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Jai Sita
सीता राम लक्ष्मण हनुमान जय सीता राम लक्ष्मण हनुमान जय सीता राम लक्ष्मण हनुमान जय गौर निताय 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 जय प्रभुपदा 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 प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्री श्रीमान अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय नितिलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंदकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनामाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद नमः विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमति भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वदेव गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददादिं स्वपदाम्बिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिकाकान्द राधाकान्द नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरे प्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां भवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Parthaya Pradibodhidam Bhagavadam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Graditam Purana Muninam Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitam Radavarshinim Bhagavadim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatva Manusandhadami Bhagavad Gide Bhavadveshinim Namostu Devyasa Vishala Buddhe Pullaravindaya tapatranetra Yena tvaya bharata tailapurnam Prajwalido jnanamaya pradiba Prapanna parijadaya Totra vetraika banaye Jnana mudraya krishnaya Gita amrta duhe nama Sarvopanishadogavo Dugdha gopala nandana Partho valsa sudhir bhokta Dugdham gita amrutam mahat Vasudeva sutam devam kamsa janura mardhanam devagi paramanandam krishnam vande jagadgurum bhishma drona dada jayadrata jala gandhara nilolpala shalya grahavati krupena vahani karnena velakula ashwathama vikarna ghora magara duryodhana vartini sotirna khalubanda vairana nadi kaivartaka keshavam Parashadyavajasarojamamalam Gidathagandholkanam Nanakhyanaka kesaram harikatha Sambhodana bodhidam Logai sajjana shalpadairaharaha pebiyamanam muda Bhuyat bharata bangajakkalimala Pradhvam sinashrayase Mukam karodhi vajalam Pangam langhayade girim Yalkrupatamaham vande Paramananda Madhavam Yam Brahma Varunindra Rudra Maruda Svanvandidi Vyaisthavir Vedai Sangavadair Kramopanishadair Gayandiyam Samagaham Dhyana Vastida Tadgadena Manasa Pashyandiyam Yogino Yasyandam Navidusura Suraganai Devaya Tasmai Namah Om Shri Krishnaya Namah Srimadi Radhikaya Namah Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sangirtanam Govinda Govinda So after now that we have completed Bhagavad Gita once, I'm sure you may have some questions, so you can ask those questions, and if I can help you anyway, I will try to answer that. Yes, please.
Somehow I felt you were sort of putting it in the air to say, look, for us, that if we, you know, that on because of our platform, that actually the great Mahatmas, they relish at all times just yes. wanting to read Bhagavad Gita. Can you explain from your point of view, when you made this point, how some people think, oh, I don't need to read Bhagavad Gita, I don't need to chant.
Yes. You see, the difference between Vedic literature and other literatures in the world, other spiritual literature or religious literature in the world, is that Vedic philosophy is meant to be practiced in life. It's not something to be read and to be discussed each other. It is more than that. It becomes yourself, become a part of that. In other words, all what Krishna has spoken, you will notice there, everything has to change the person. Otherwise, it has no meaning. The different yoga systems Krishna has spoken, for example, the Karma Yogam, Jnana Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, basically these three yoga systems. If you notice, if you read the Bhagavad Gita, you will find that it changes the person completely. Otherwise, it doesn't mean anything. It is not an academic exercise. This is what I am saying. It's not an academic exercise. Just by studying Bhagavad Gita, you may be able to discuss with others. That is no good. That's not the goal. The goal is that is these things what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, are these qualities coming to me or not? This is the test of the whole exercise. That if these qualities are happening to me, then I am following that process. Otherwise not. Otherwise not. So what it is said, just like we say, Prabhupada used to say, person Bhagavadam and the book Bhagavadam. Where is the difference? Difference is not there. If already the person has become Srimad Bhagavadam, then he doesn't need Bhagavadam. He is as good as Bhagavadam in every sense. Isn't it? So same thing with Bhagavad Gita also, that the yoga systems, what Krishna has spoken in that, if it is properly understood and properly practiced in life, you become, you identify with it, you become that eventually. It is at that stage, you don't have to go back to the book again, looking for the verse number and the chapter number and all that. That's all finished at that stage. So, strictly speaking, what it is that a devotee or a person who comes to spiritual life and who wants to progress on the spiritual path, he has to take Krishna's instructions very seriously. Otherwise, nothing will happen. If you just read it as a ritual and leave it there once a year or once a month or whatever it is, it doesn't mean anything unless this changes the person's way of thinking. Because what is discussed in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is knowledge. It is not simply a literature that has been written for our entertainment. It's more, whether to take it Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, there is knowledge is there, there devotion is there, both are discussed. Jnana Grantham as well as it's called a Bhakti Grantham. So both are there. And Jnana means, we are talking about Jnana which will change us. With Jnana, it becomes with Jnana. Only then it is used to us. Otherwise, it is no good. So it is from that point of view, when we say like this, that what is actually, when do you stop reading Bhagavatam? But it is a state where you have completely taken Srimad Bhagavatam wholeheartedly. It is at that point that you read, that you stop reading. Now, if you look into the life of those great personalities, like the Goswamis in Vrindavanam, or Chief Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Goswamis in Vrindavanam, the Bhagavatam has gone in so much, from there they produced all the other literature. Just like if you take all the Nectar of Devotion, or the Sandarbhas, what Jiva Goswami has written, and all the other literature what the Goswamis have created, they have all come from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the proof to say that once Bhagavatam goes inside a person, automatically it starts producing its own ripple effects after that. And this literature that has come about from them, all are nothing but the very message of Bhagavatam spoken in a different form, in order to make it easier for the audience to understand. So all the, more or less, you can say, the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition literature comes from Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's why Bhagavatam is so important. That when Sarva Vedanta Saram hi Srimad Bhagavatam ishyade, it says, all Vedanta Saram, the essence of Vedantam, is Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said in the Bhagavatam itself at the very end. Advastu adudiyam tannishtam kaivalyega prayojanam. That's how it says. In the 12th canto, you can see at the very end of the 12th canto. Vastu advidiyam tannishtam kaivalyega prayojanam. If you understand the Srimad Bhagavatam properly, then you have understood the vastu. Vastu means the truth. That's what we are searching after, isn't it? We are searching after the truth. And that truth is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the proper way. And if you have taken shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, it says there, vastu advidiyam tannishtam. And that will become in you, it becomes that. You accept, understand that what this truth is about. Kaivalyega prayojanam. It leads to liberation. That is the goal. Liberation is the goal. Now, in many instances, if you read Srila Prabhupada's books also, you will find sometimes Prabhupada's talking about liberation. Sometimes Prabhupada will stress on devotion to Krishna. You may have seen that. If you have read it many times, you will notice the different instances. Sometimes Prabhupada will say the goal of life is going back to Godhead or liberated, getting liberated. Another times Prabhupada will mention that the goal is not liberation actually, but developing devotion, bhakti to Krishna. So sometimes people ask this question, which one is the goal? Either this or that. Actually, strictly speaking, the goal of all Vedic literature is to get liberated from material existence. Now, why then Prabhupada said like that? The reason for that is, if bhakti develops in a person to that degree, automatically liberation is covered in that. There is no separate need to endeavor for liberation, but one has to reach to that level of devotion. That is why. Vilamangalam will say this in Krishna Karanavam. If you read, there is a statement there. Mukti swayam mugulidanjali jaivam asman dharmartha kama gadaya samaya pradikshah. That mukti swayam mugulidanjali, mukti devi or liberation personified, she'll come in front of you with folded hands waiting for an audience when you give some time for her. That is the state of devotion. That is the state of position of a great devotee. That is, of course, the type of devotees we are talking about is Vilumangalam. Vilumangalam says like this: Mukti swayam gulidanjali jaiva asman dharma arthakamagadaya samaya pradikshah. Like dharmam artham kamam, moksham also is waiting there for a devotee. So he doesn't have to separately endeavor for that. That is why it is spoken like that. So whether we say devotion to Krishna's lotus feet or mukti, ultimately the goal is to get out of the material life once for all. We don't have to accept another body again in this world. This is the goal. So because accepting another body means we have to accept all the associated miseries also, isn't it? Birth, death, old age and disease, all these problems we have to accept with another birth. So escape from this cycle of birth and death, that is the goal. So those who have come to that state, they can always, by the time you reach that state, obviously you must have gone through Bhagavadam or Bhagavad Gita to that degree that you don't require to come back to. Because Bhagavadam is nothing but telling us to practice Krishna consciousness, isn't it? How? Through chanting process. The process of chanting the holy name. Bhagavadam is, what is the message of Srimad Bhagavadam? If anybody asks, what is the message of Srimad Bhagavadam? Bhagavadam's message is idam Bhagavadam namam puranam brahma samhidam. That this Bhagavad Puranam is nama puranam. It is a puranam which refers to chanting the holy name of Krishna. So that is the only thing. In order to make us chant the holy name, Srimad Bhagavadam was written. That is the goal of Bhagavadam. In order to make us to chant the holy name. So idam Bhagavadam namam puranam brahma samhidam. That Brahma has also approved this process. And at the end of Bhagavadam also, it says, how does Bhagavadam conclude? Very end of Bhagavadam, if you look, when Sudha Goswami and Shaunaga Rishi has discussed Bhagavadam in Naimisharanyam, in the 12th canto, you can see this, that after studying whole Srimad Bhagavadam, the question came up, what should I do now? What have you understood after hearing Bhagavadam? This 18,000 verses, for a long period of time, you've been hearing Srimad Bhagavadam. So at that point the question came up, what did I learn from Bhagavadam? What did I learn? And that question comes up, there must be a very clear answer to that. And that answer is also given in the Srimad Bhagavadam, because they knew that people like us won't even know the answer after asking that question. Again, we will sit and think, what is the answer? So the answer is also given in the Srimad Bhagavadam. What is the answer? Patidas khalida vartha kshutvava vivasho bhruvan haraye nama ityuchai muchyade sarvabhadagal. This is the answer. Patidas khalida vartha kshutvava vivasho bhruvan. That means one padida. Padida means one who has fallen. Somehow or the other, due to his prarabdha karma or whatever it is, or due to the association with the modes of nature, a person has completely fallen down in life. He has completely lost connection with Krishna. That's what all our situation is. We have lost our connection with Krishna. That's why we are rotting in this material world, in looking for happiness here, there, everywhere. But all these things, they say in the Bhagavadam, padidas khalidam varta chutvava vivasho bruvan. that somehow a man who has fallen down like that, Patita, or Skhalida, or one who has tripped and fell in some way, he has fallen down in this world, and he is helpless. Totally, he has lost his the interest in life. He has come to that stage. Does not know where to go now, which direction to turn. If a stage comes like that, because only then one start inquiring about God, isn't it? About Krishna. Otherwise, he won't inquire. He will inquire about everything else in this world except Krishna. That is a normal situation. But when one comes to that situation, it says in the Bhagavadam, Haraye nama ityuchai muchyade sarvabadagal. If he simply says this, Haraye nama, glories to all my obeisances to Krishna. That's what it means, Haraye nama. Haraye nama ityuchai. If he speaks this loudly, muchyade sarvabadagal, he will get released from all his sinful reactions. Distress comes in this world from what? From sinful activities. Sinful activities comes back to us in the form of distress, either from this lifetime or from the previous lifetimes. It doesn't matter. But that distress, it says in the Bhagavadam, will go when one starts chanting the holy name of Krishna. That is why it is spoken like that in the Bhagavadam. So after 12 cantos, the conclusion that is in the Srimad Bhagavadam is one should chant the holy name at all times. This is the goal of life. There is nothing else to do. And this is the process most appropriate and recommended for this age also. Everything else will fall apart. It is not going to work in this age. So, yeah. Padidaskalido varta chutvava vivasho bruvan haraye namayityuchai uchare sarvabadagal. Then Bhagavadam again further continues about the same thing, stressing once again the necessity to chant the holy name. So obviously when Bhagavadam was spoken, Parikshit Maharaj was keeping us in mind more than Parikshit. Sudev Goswami was keeping us in mind more than Parikshit. Parikshit has already gone back by now. In the 12th canto, if you read by 5th chapter, Parikshit has gone from this world. He has gone back to the spiritual world. From all that, after that, is directing towards us, the fortunate people in the age of Kali, who have come just to suffer, nothing else. So for those people, addressing them, these are spoken there in the Bhagavadam. So you can see, the message in the Srimad Bhagavadam, from beginning to end, is to chant the holy name. Is to chant the holy name. So, when one chants the holy name, and feels that happiness from the holy name, as well as he sees what is the goal ultimately, is to go back to Krishna. And that process is the Kala udoshani dhe rajan asti keho mahan gunan kirtanal Krishna sangasya mukta sangabaram brajel. Again in the Srimad Bhagavatam it says, this is again from Sudev Goswami, because when he spoke about the Kali Yuga, which was fast approaching, and when he realized that the Parikshit Maharaj was asking this feeling that Kali Yuga is going to disturb a lot of people. Kali Yuga was going to disturb a lot of people. And Sukadeva Goswami says that Kali Yuga has started the day Krishna left this world. Of course, Krishna left this world means Krishna is always there, but when Krishna took away that form from our vision, from in this world, that was the day when Kali Yuga began. Kali Yuga began in this world on that day. So on that basis, Sukadeva Goswami was saying to Parikshit that as soon as Kali Yuga begins, things will change. People's nature will change. They'll become more absorbed in sinful activities. Their capacity for spiritual life will go. They will think things which are not important as important, like we all do. And so many things, what is attributed to us, is mentioned there, particularly the people in the age of Kali. So in this age of Kali, what will happen is that we will lose our interest in spiritual life. That's the first thing. We can't value it anymore. We think that spiritual life is not such an important thing. And rather, our survival in this world is more important. And this is all happens because of our inability to develop spiritual identity. In other words, identity with the body is stronger. So there it is said, Sukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit, this Kali Yuga, although it has got all these problems what he has spoken, there's about one whole chapter of the nature of the age in the or the people in the age of Kali is discussed there. Many, many things are spoken. That from the Vedic point of view, what goes on today is not proper. That is why it is, and that's what we won't even know what the proper thing is, so we won't know, understand it. But the thing is that when Bhagavatam refers to that, it says, points out the relationship between man and woman, and similarly different, how good qualities will disappear from the human society and will become victimized by the age of Kali. So when all that things happen, when all those things happen, it says in the Bhagavatam, Kalau dhosha nidhe rajan, my dear king, Kali Yugam is full of faults. There is nothing much there in Kali Yugam to look forward to. Everywhere, in everything there is problem. Kalau dhosha nidhe rajan, asti keho mahan gunan. Even though it is like that, there is one good quality with Kali. There is one good quality with Kali. What is that? Kirtanal Krishna Sangasya Mukta Sangaparam Rajel. That if we simply glorify Krishna, somehow or the other, if you glorify Krishna all the time, Mukta Sangaparam Rajel, that's enough to go back to the spiritual world. That is the beauty of Kali. Is that enough to go back to the spiritual world? So this Kirtanam doesn't mean just singing. It includes everything. Everything is Kirtanam. Kirtanam is nothing but it is glorification of Krishna. And that glorification can be anything. It can be anything. Either singing, or it could be speaking about Krishna, or chanting the holy name, even cooking for Krishna, offering to Krishna. Everything is Kirtanam. Is glorification of Krishna in the broad sense. Huh? So that is why it's said like that. Yeah.
It's a lifetime's occupation.
Absolutely. No, yes, it's not only for one lifetime, many lifetimes. Yes. Otherwise, one cannot get out of this conditioned state. The jiva or the living entity, we are called conditioned souls, isn't it? What does conditioning mean? It's a kind of ignorance that we have created, which is covering us, the soul, which is covering the soul. And as when we pray this, in our prayers also, Jnanati Mirandasya, we say, that means we are in Jnanam, we are in ignorance. I don't know, you don't know what is the truth. So as long as we don't know the truth, so long as we are under the influence of illusion, under the influence of Maya, we have no other way except to fight it from all the way. And that may take one lifetime, many lifetimes, depending on how the Krishna's mercy comes. So, but it is a very, very long-drawn process. No doubt about that.
Can I just then further ask a personal question in regards to yourself? You've been brought up where Srimad Bhagavatam is recited and spoken and discussed as children and through to your life as it is now. Is there a change in realization and taste as this progresses through life, you know, just from your experience? You know, we don't have your experience. So I'm asking, humbly, you know, from your experience.
Bhagavatam, my experience means, what I can say is this, that if you take Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, if you take it seriously, Srimad Bhagavatam will change the person's thinking. It will naturally happen. Provided, when we study Srimad Bhagavatam, it makes us realize that this material world, what we are dealing with 24 hours in a day, is not everything. This is only a very small part of the whole creation. And somehow or the other, we ended up here, whatever that may be, what that brought us here, our karma, whichever is called. This cannot ultimately bring the happiness to a person. Because Sukadeva Goswami also, what we are doing when we study Srimad Bhagavatam is trying to understand Sukadeva Goswami's mind, isn't it? Because he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit. So basically, because he has transcended the modes of nature, he has gone beyond than that. And he has seen the truth. What is the truth? So we have not seen the truth. But if you have strong faith in Sukadeva Goswami's words, if you accept his authority, then naturally you will experience that there is something beyond this worldly activities in the material life. Material life cannot bring happiness to anyone in any situation. It's always at the end distress, ends up in distress. So some realizations you will get from Srimad Bhagavatam that that will come, but you should not think that it has reached the final stage. It is only a very slight taste of it, that Bhagavatam gives you some understanding that Krishna is present in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And when you hear Bhagavatam several times, automatically there is some connection built up inside, that Bhagavatam is the goal ultimately one should be looking at. And that's called the taste of reading Bhagavatam. And once you develop that taste, you will actually find some something that's coming from there. I can't put it in words and tell you what it is, but there's something in the Bhagavatam that you will find that it's illuminating or changing our consciousness. That's all I can say, because I don't know anything more than that. But what it is that whether we have it or we don't have it, it doesn't matter. Whether we have it or we don't have it. Those who have spoken about Srimad Bhagavatam, they had it. Who had it, they have spoken about it. So if you have faith in their words, then you follow them. It doesn't mean that only when I experience it, I'll take to Bhagavatam. No, that realization Krishna will give at the right time, when one is qualified to receive it. Up to that point, you are dependent on those who have taken Bhagavatam very seriously in their life. And especially, apart from Sudeva Goswami, for thousands of years, Srimad Bhagavatam has been recited. What does Bhagavatam say is that Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Jnana Pradipa Pura Yasmin Paramahamsamekam Amalam Jnana Pradipa Pura. So Srimad Bhagavatam will only tell you, or you will be able to experience Bhagavatam at a particular stage only. And what is that stage? Paramahamsa stage. Yasmin Paramahamsa Megamamalam Jnanam Param Giyade. So one who has become a Paramahamsa stage, in that stage you enjoy Bhagavatam. That is what Bhagavatam says at the end. Jnanam Param Giyade. Yatra Jnana Virakti Sahidam Naishkarmyam Avishkadam Yat Shrinvan Vibhadan Vicharanavaro Bhaktya Vimuchir Nara. So, in other words, when one studies Bhagavatam, when one reflects on Srimad Bhagavatam, when one studies Bhagavatam, when one reflects on Bhagavatam, or when one discusses Srimad Bhagavatam with others, Shrinvan Vibhadan Vicharanavaro, three things it says there. Bhaktya Vimuchir Nara, that person will develop Krishna Bhakti or Krishna Consciousness. That is what is Bhagavatam guarantees. If one takes Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, studies it, discusses it with others, and hears it from others, automatically he will develop Krishna Consciousness. That is the proof of what is what Bhagavatam is offering to us. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsamekam Amalam Jnanam Param Giyade. And the knowledge that is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam is the superior knowledge, is the most highest knowledge. Yatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahidam. Along with Bhakti, two more things will develop. Jnana Vairagyam. Jnanam and Vairagyam will develop. So, when we talk about realizations, this Jnana Vairagyam are important factors. Jnanam is knowledge and renunciation is Vairagyam is renunciation. These two things are presented in the Padma Puranam as the children of Bhakti. In other words, when Bhakti builds up, Jnanam and Vairagyam will always be there. They are her children. The result of Bhakti is Jnana Vairagyam. Jnana Vairagyam will naturally happen. So, Bhagavatam says, Yatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahidam. Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahidam. I mean, Bhakti along with Jnanam and Vairagyam will develop in that person. So, Naishkarmyam Avishkritam. In other words, his karmam will also become Naishkarmyam. It is more than sense gratification at that time. yet shrinvan vipadan vicharanavaro bhaktya vimuchyer nara. So one who reflects on it hears that shrinvan vipadan vicharanavaro, one who or who studies that with others, all these things will eventually elevate that person in his Krishna consciousness. And it is not something one can measure it at any level. One cannot measure it. Because when things are changing in a person, automatically you will feel some happiness coming from that, from Srimad Bhagavatam. And that can happen anytime in anyone's life. It is very difficult. I'm sure many, many devotees are enjoying Srimad Bhagavatam, whether in Europe or America. Because otherwise they won't be able to take it and read it. There is something in the Bhagavatam that is pulling people towards Srimad Bhagavatam. What is that? First thing is the knowledge, and then also the devotion. These two things particularly, the knowledge and the devotion of Srimad Bhagavatam. And there is something in the Bhagavatam that is telling them that, because in the beginning itself, Vedavyasa Maharshi presented Satyam Param Dhimahi. It is the absolute truth that is discussed in the Bhagavatam. So when one becomes more serious and studying it seriously, something will come from that. It's not it's going to go away. Yes.
Arjuna wanted to see his Vishwarup. I mean, to me, Vishwarup is a little bigger than this, this earth planet.
Yes.
I can't really imagine how Vishwarup would be. Srila Prabhupada have many times have explained this.
Yes.
That our imagination is maybe Krishna is a little bigger than I am.
Yes, yes.
Yes. So the point I'm trying to make.
Prabhupada used to say, in the beginning, Prabhupada took Bhagavad Gita very seriously. Because it's only through Bhagavad Gita people first understand the importance of the soul. That is where we have to start the spiritual life, isn't it? It has to start from the soul. And especially from the second chapter, when Krishna started telling to Arjuna that you are a stupid person, you have no brain. In the first instance, he says to him. From there, you can see this how the psychology works. First, Krishna says to Arjuna that you are talking like a very learned person, but actually you don't know anything. And this shocked Arjuna first, because he was thinking himself to be very learned. So at that point, Krishna woke him up from his ignorance and made him realize that all his understanding was false. Everything was false. So if whenever we present Bhagavad Gita to others, first thing we have to take into consideration is this particular point in the second chapter. That everything what Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita is based on the spiritual platform. That we are a spirit soul, not this material body. And unless we come out of that perception of material body, whatever we build up on top of that has no meaning unless we come out of it. So that's why that first, second chapter itself is so powerful chapter. As you, even all the great acharyas, they start their commentary from there. Shankaracharya's commentary, if you take on Bhagavad Gita, it finished, starts from that 10th verse of the second chapter. He didn't comment anything about the first chapter at all, because it's all Arjuna's lamentation that my family is going to die, my spiritual masters are going to die, they're going to die, what's the benefit of all these things? This is the kind of things Arjuna has spoken. And they don't take it seriously. But the real message of Bhagavad Gita, as it is, you can see, it is in that second chapter, from the verse 10 onwards. That's why you will see very elaborate purports on that from then onwards. Prabhupada has written so many purports on that, the first 15-20 verses in the second chapter, for this reason. And as long as that verses stay in our mind, we can't go wrong. When do we go wrong? When we forget those verses. Those verses and the translation and the purport of those. If those verses stays in our head all the time, any Vedic literature, if you read, it all becomes easier, because the basis is strong there. The foundation is very strong in that second chapter. So, whatever that is spoken in throughout Bhagavad Gita, the Krishna laid the foundation in that second chapter, in that 15-20 verses, from verse 10 onwards. And it is on that Krishna built up the Karma Yogam, Jnanam, Bhakti, everything from above in that. So, all I can say is that Prabhupada was explaining those verses for so long a time. You don't see any other verses explained so much in depth like Prabhupada did with that second chapter verses. And each of those verses were spoken in all different places, at all different times, to all different kinds of people. But why? Because our position is like this. Spiritually, we have no connections. In order to make us aware that spirituality and spiritual life is the real life, and to make us see the importance of that, Prabhupada used those verses as the very, very important verses in the Bhagavad Gita.
Sometimes I could be morose, you know, thinking that the level I'm in, I would never be able to.
We are all in the same level. We don't have to worry about it too much. All of us are going through the same situation. But that doesn't mean that it is good to think like that, so that you don't feel that we are making much progress in spiritual life. It will come in its own way, but the process has to go on. It cannot stop. Okay.
In the verse, Sarva Dharma Parijitya.
Yes.
From a devotee who the first had access to demigod worship.
Yes.
How would this verse relate to them?
The demigod worship, particularly in the Vedic tradition, which has been existent for such a very, very long time. You will see in Krishna's time also it was going on. Like worship of Durga Devi and worship of Lord Shiva, they were very famous even those days. But when you have come to Krishna consciousness, and when you have taken the goal of going back to Krishna as everything, then worship of any other devatas is not important. They are not any more important. But in Krishna consciousness, when one is trying to glorify Krishna, Krishna also says like this, that all these other devatas also, if anya devata bhakta ajande shraddhaya nidaha, Bhagavad Gita says like that, isn't it? That all the other devatas also, when somebody is worshipping, they are indirectly worshipping me, Krishna says. Not directly, but indirectly they are worshipping me. It is me who are present there in that form also. So those who are worshipping in that, and if they are finding it extremely difficult to stop it or give it up, or they are so attached to it, let them continue in that way. Because one instance, one person came to Srila Prabhupada in Mumbai and told him that he was a devotee of Lord Shiva. And he continued to worship Lord Shiva for a very, very long time. And he said to Prabhupada that when I go to temple and see Krishna's deity there, actually I see Lord Shiva there. That was his position. Prabhupada told him, you continue with the worship of Lord Shiva in that case. And from there you can see that sometimes some people have gone to such levels of realizations with other deity worships. So for them it may be difficult, a stage, to give it up completely, which is may disturb their mind altogether. And in such cases, it's better not to do that. But people like us, who are neither this nor that, nor anywhere any connections with Krishna consciousness, and who have taken Bhagavad Gita seriously, this form of Krishna has to be taken as the form for worship. That's the important thing. And why? Because when you study, you see, in spiritual life, you need a few things. You need some literature, Vedic literature to help. For example, Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. And then you need a spiritual master. And then you need the help of the devotees. So when you take into account all these things, for one who is going to start his spiritual life, it will be easier if he takes to the message of Bhagavad Gita as it is, where Krishna says that if you understand the glories of the Absolute Truth, Krishna's different aspects, like discussed in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, the moment you understand Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, it will be difficult to accept any another form to worship. It will be difficult to accept another form. Mind will get attracted to that form of Krishna, either in the Shyamasundara form, or Parthasarathi form, or the child's form of Krishna as a little boy in Vrindavanam. Any of these forms are acceptable for worshipping. But according to our own relationship, either in the five different modes, what is discussed there, Shantam, Dasim, Sakhyam, Vatsalyam, Madhuryam. So whatever it is, Krishna's form as worshipped by the great acharyas, any of those forms are acceptable. There is nothing, somehow or the other, one should become Krishna conscious. That is the most important thing. According to one's taste, one can accept that form. It's not that one can only worship Krishna in only one particular form. Krishna has given us all these options also in the different... Like, it is like this, that when one studies Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, he will get attracted to some part of Bhagavatam. It's not that all Bhagavatam will be, he will relate. So some people recite that particular part which they are attracted to. For example, someone who is very attracted to Prithu Maharaj's story in the fourth canto, they read Prithu Maharaj's story very well because they see that very attractive to them, Prithu Maharaj's activities. And somebody else is attracted by Ajamila. Somebody else is attracted by Bhishma. Somebody else is attracted by Kunti Devi. As I mentioned before, these 12 cantos in the Srimad Bhagavatam are 12 compartments in a train. You can jump into any of them. All of them are the same standard class. You can get into any of them. But once you get into the train will take you back to Vaikuntham. It won't stop till then. So it doesn't matter whether you get into the first bogie or the last bogie, first coach or the last coach. You should get into the coach. That's the main thing. That's all it is. So whether we worship Krishna as this form or that form, that's immaterial. Because throughout Bhagavatam, Krishna is present some way or the other. Important thing is to take it first. So, Sarvadharman Paritejyam Amegam Sharanam Raja. What it means is that Krishna is saying to us that all other dharmam, so-called dharmam, what we have created, the other dharmam all we have created, Krishna didn't create. The dharmams what we have created, what that has to be given up. And our real dharma, which is serving Krishna, that should be taken. That is what it says. That's what it means. So, in the process of service also to Krishna, that it becomes easier when one takes to Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And from both these literature, it confirms that Krishna is the Absolute Truth. Ere cha amshagalapumsam, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna Himself. So when one is serving Krishna, the question will come now. If one is serving Krishna, am I upsetting the other demigods? This question will come. Some people's mind, this question will come. The answer to that is also there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you look in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, Markandeya Rishi served Markandeya Maharshi goes to Himalayas in Pushpabhadra River, and he had in his ashram, he was performing penances. After a very, very long time, Naranarayana Maharshi comes to see Markandeya Rishi there. At that time, Markandeya Maharshi told Naranarayana Rishi that I have a great desire to see what is Maya. This was his question. What is Maya? The reason why Naranarayana Rishi came to see Markandeya Maharshi was Markandeya Maharshi performed such penances that even Indra tried to break his austerities and penances, tapasya. He tried to stop it. Because Indra gets worried as soon as one starts performing severe austerities. That's our Indra. So this Indra gets very upset when Markandeya Maharshi performed for a very long period of time very severe austerities and penances. So Indra sent his weapons to make Markandeya Maharshi fall down. To Markandeya Maharshi to fall down. Like Cupid, Kamadeva. And then the the wind, Malaya Marida it's called. The wind from the forests of the heavenly planets. And then what else he has got? Apsaras women. He sent all of them. They came and they started singing and dancing in front of Markandeya Muni. And Markandeya Maharshi didn't even open his eyes. He was not affected by that. Still he was situated in the transcendental position. So they all lost. They tried their best and eventually they gave it up and they went back to the spiritual world and told Indra that nothing worked. So at that time, Naranarayana Maharshi, who was performing penances in Badrika Ashram, he saw all this what was happening because Markandeya Maharshi's ashram was not very far from Narayana Maharshi's ashram. So Narayana Maharshi along with Nara Maharshi together came to Markandeya Muni. And when they came to Markandeya Muni, Markandeya Muni woke up and saw Naranarayana Maharshi and he paid his obeisances to them. So Narayana Maharshi told Markandeya Maharshi, I have come to congratulate you because you have succeeded in winning over Maya because Indra's weapons are very powerful. When it comes and you are gone with that. You will not be able to get through it. It is a very severe test what Indra has made many people to fall down in that way. In this, that's all he has done good in this world. So anyone who tries to advance spiritually, Indra will put all these things as a test on them. So this happened and Markandeya Maharshi says to Narayana Maharshi that it was only due to your mercy that I did not, such things did not. But Narayana Maharshi said to him that I am very surprised that such a young boy like you was able to win over Maya. That was his words, he said. Win over Maya, like this. So, Markandeya Maharshi says to him, because his mind was so absorbed in Krishna, Narayana Maharshi, when he said this to Markandeya Maharshi, that you have won over Maya. Winning over Maya is not an easy thing, you know that. So, Markandeya Maharshi says to Narayana Maharshi, what is this thing called Maya, he says. So Narayana Maharshi smiled at that time and said to him that if you want to see Maya, you will see Maya. You will see Maya, don't worry about that. That's not very difficult, he said. Saying this, he is walking back. From Markandeya Maharshi, he is walking back. While walking back, hardly a few steps have gone from Markandeya Maharshi's ashram. They turned back and they saw Markandeya Maharshi was in serious trouble by then. He was thinking, Markandeya Maharshi was sitting there and he was experiencing that the whole world is under water. He started experiencing the whole world is under water. Not only the world, everything is going underneath the water. Even including the Everest mountain is underneath the water, according to Markandeya Maharshi's vision at that time. And in that water, he is swimming. Markandeya Maharshi is swimming. He is swimming all the time. And while swimming, he is dying. Drinking so much water, then he is dying. Then he is again taking birth and he is swimming again. This continuously he is experiencing this. And it went on for a very, very long period of time. Very long period of time. It says in the Bhagavatam several kalpams it's lasted. Several kalpams has lasted. So this experience of time and place, in our defective eyes, we take it in one way. But any amount of time you can experience it as though it's a very prolonged process if it is to be done by Maya. Maya will make things what you cannot do, Maya can do it. That's the beauty of Maya. Akhatita gadana padiyasi Maya. That is the definition of Maya. What we think cannot be done, Maya can do it. This is the beauty of Maya's power. So Maya made Markandeya to feel that several kalpams I have passed through in this. Drinking water and swimming, he is still swimming. In that process he got married, he had children, they were getting sick, running to NHS. All these things were all going on in this short period of time when he was Maya. And this went on. It is in the Bhagavatam, you can read it. 3-4 chapters in the 12th canto only discusses this topic, winning over Maya. So Markandeya Maharshi, then at the end, in that huge water, huge storage of water, everywhere we looked, it was only water. He saw a leaf of a banyan tree in which a little baby lying down. When Markandeya Maharshi looked at that baby, he said, this is the person I wanted to see, and he starts swimming towards him. Krishna was lying in this banyan tree leaf, banyan leaf. When he got there, Markandeya Maharshi was thinking, who is this child? The child has nobody else to look after this child. And I also don't have anyone. So thinking that, he tried to take Krishna in his hands. At that time, Krishna, in one of his breath, Markandeya Maharshi went inside Krishna's body, in this little baby's form. It is in the Vilavangalam says about this. Kararavindena padaravindam. Padara vinde, mukhara vinde, viniveshayandam, vadasya vatrasya padeshayanam, balam mugundam manasasmarami, mugunda balan. Mugunda balan means that mugunda form of Krishna. That what was Krishna's doing? Krishna has taken from his left foot this toe and has put it into the mouth and he was sucking it. Vilamangalam says, do you know why he was sucking that foot, this toe? The reason for that was that everybody wants to reach Krishna's lotus feet, isn't it? You won't see everyone praying to Krishna, look, I want to reach your head or your heart. Everyone says, I want to reach your lotus feet, isn't it? That's how it is spoken. Everywhere in the Bhagavatam you will find that Krishna's lotus feet we talk about. Why lotus feet? That is another interesting question, isn't it? So lotus feet, there is some sweetness in the lotus feet. Krishna's lotus feet. So probably Vilumangalam says Krishna decided to taste himself that sweetness. That is why he put that toe in the mouth and he was sucking. So while sucking, it was then that our Markandeya comes in. So Markandeya gone in one breath. When he went in, he saw all that was outside is inside as well. Inside Krishna's body. So Markandeya Maharshi did not know what was going on. In the next breath, he comes out through the other nostril. In one nostril, he went in, and the other nostril, he came out. When he came out, he started realizing, this is endless. This Maya is endless. He didn't know even he was in Maya. He was thinking, it is better not looking for inside or outside of this personality who was lying in the banyan leaf. Rather, let me take shelter of him. In that way, while he was thinking, suddenly the whole scene changed. And he was sitting there in his ashram and he was wondering what has happened to himself. At that time, Narayana Maharshi was looking back and smiling at him. So prior to this, what happened? As soon as he came out of his illusion, which Narayana Maharshi has applied on him, and he came out of the illusion, he saw he could not open his eyes because that form of Krishna which was inside him has suddenly disappeared. And instead, he saw Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati inside. Inside his heart. He was seeing Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati there. So he thought, why is this happening? Why did that beautiful form go away? He opened his eyes. When he opened, there was Shiva and Parvati standing in front of him at that time. Because when Sri Parvati heard that this Markandeya, who was only 16 years old, has developed such a high degree of Krishna consciousness, they also wanted to bless him. They came on their own because they know what was happening through Markandeya also. So in other words, one who has taken to Krishna consciousness, all the other demigods also will come to bless him at some time or the other. He don't have to go after them separately. This is the important message in that story. That if you are taken to Krishna consciousness, at some point or the other, Sri Parvati will come, Lord Shiva will also come to glorify, give their benedictions. In the Bhagavatam, what did they give? Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati gave some important benedictions to Markandeya. Jnanam Trigaligam Brahmam, Trigala Jnanam, past, present and the future. That was given to Markandeya. Jnanam Trigaligam Brahmam. Then, Brahma Varchasinam, that Brahma Tejas was also given to him. And above everything else, Purana Acharya Dastude, he was made as the Acharya of all the Puranas. All the Puranas, Acharya is, Markandeya is considered to be the authority of all the Puranas. So, like this, the story is telling us, this incident in the Bhagavatam has been spoken for only this reason, that if you take Krishna's shelter and surrender to Krishna, by all means, you don't have to go and worship all the other devadas in this world. It's not necessary. Automatically, they will also offer their benedictions to you. You are not upsetting anybody. On the other hand, you are winning their mercy as well. That is that message in the Bhagavatam. It is not a selfish desire to go back home, back to Godhead. Because the body has been given to us for that purpose. Our service, what's our service in this world? We can do, we have to serve Krishna, no doubt. Whether we are here or there, elsewhere, it doesn't matter. But the important thing is, what Krishna says, how much we understand. If we study Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, the message is very, very clear that unless we use this human form of life to get out of the cycle of birth and death, we have lost that chance. It will never come back again easily. We don't even know whether we'll get another human birth next life, number one. Even if we get a human birth again, where is the guarantee that we will here take Srimad Bhagavatam seriously? So all these questions are there, and the important thing is that to utilize the human form of life to get out of this cycle of birth and death. That is the first thing. In that, this service to Krishna, that can help us for that, to get out of this material life. And that is never considered to be a selfish thing. It's never, if it was a selfish thing, all these acharyas would not have written all this literature. Everything is based on this one principle of getting out of the cycle of birth and death. All other things come secondary. And that is why this is the Vedic literature based on knowledge that living entity's condition in this world is completely that he has to accept the miseries of the material world, birth, death, old age and disease. As long as these four things are there, we cannot do very much anything because material body gets old. So even if we don't think about going back home, back to Godhead, once the old age comes, what service can we do? There also you are restricted. And when you are born, first many years, you can't do any service anyway. Because that time, due to childhood, and at that time when you are not in knowledge of serving Krishna, again you are not going to do anything. So as far as Krishna consciousness is concerned, you have only a few years of life in this world to execute. And if at that time, if you are thinking about the rest of the world rather than about yourself, then you have lost that chance. That's what it is. We look into Bhagavatam like this. Please try to understand this point because it's very important. We talked about three levels of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, isn't it? One was Parikshit, other one was Vedavyas, and the third was Shaunagarshi, the three different personalities. Out of these three, Parikshit is categorized as the topmost. Why is that? The reason for that is Parikshit had his goal very clear. He wanted to Go back to the spiritual world. Doesn't want to back here again. Stay here again. So therefore, Parikshit is considered superior. Vedavyas even considered to be the second degree. Why is that? Because in Vedavyas' mind, he was thinking more about other people in this world. You see? Even thinking about other people in this world. Now you can say Parikshit is more selfish, isn't it? Compared to Vedavyas? No. Parikshit is more advanced than Vedavyas. Parikshit is more advanced than Vedavyas. Because Parikshit understood and took complete benefit of Srimad Bhagavatam. He studied it and went back to spiritual world in 7 days' time. And Sukadeva Goswami came to give this message to Parikshit for this reason. That if you take Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, you should get back to the spiritual world. And no other business. And then you can serve Krishna there also, as much as you serve here. And it's not going to stop. When we say like this, it is a statement which is spoken in order to encourage people to develop devotion in the heart. That is why it's spoken like that. That when you say to people that serving Krishna is important, because all of us have a great resistance to serve. We have a great resistance to serve. So in order to encourage, it is spoken in that way. And and when the question of serving Krishna means chanting holy name is serving Krishna, isn't it? Chanting holy name is also serving Krishna. Studying Srimad Bhagavatam is serving Krishna. So how would you say that one is service and one is not service? Everything is service to Krishna. Even this very process for achieving liberation is a service to Krishna. It is through that you are attaining that goal. So one can never say that it is a selfish thing. Yeah.
They told, or that they said that basically it's in this world, this universe, where preaching, the service of preaching, goes on. It doesn't follow sin spiritual. It's not available in the spiritual world. It's only in this world. This particular type of service is available. And so should be, in fact, looked upon as a relishable activity.
First thing what we have to remember is this. This world, nobody can change it. Even Krishna tried to change, he couldn't change it, this world. That is the nature of this world. It is like this, that just like a dog's tail, you put a pipe to straighten it, as soon as you take the pipe out, the tail will go back to its original shape. Similarly, no matter how much you try to change this world, it is not going to change completely. Even if it changes, it will last for only a short time. Immediately, it will go back to it. Then why preaching? Then the question will come. If we say like that, why should we? We are preaching only for one reason. By talking about Krishna, the speaker as well as the listener gets benefited. You become more attached to Krishna. That is why we talk about Krishna. Now, in other words, you can't, as far as saving the world is concerned, so many people have tried to save this world. No one has till date succeeded in doing that. Every time they try to do something, it has again gone back to its original. There is more chaos, in fact, to tell you the truth, than after all this effort they have done. So that is not exactly the goal of saving the world. You can't save this world because this is material life and material world. It will always be like this. What you can do is in your time and energy, if it is spent in glorifying Krishna, that will ultimately help your spiritual life in one way or the other. It will help your own spiritual progress. For that purpose it is done. Preaching is done. Not for any other reason. Not with the hope that the world is going to be a wonderful place. It's never going to happen. So many great personalities you can see, even Lord Jesus Christ and Krishna himself and Ramachandra had come. And see, look at the condition of this world today. What has changed in this world? There's more atheists than any time before, after all of them have come and preached here. That is, they also know that. Krishna also knew this very well. Krishna says that the moment I leave this world, the whole place is going to fall apart, he said to Uddhava. It says, Samudram Plavishyati, it says in the Bhagavatam, that the moment I leave this world, everything will change in this world. Because that is the very nature this world is created. It is wrong to try to correct that. It is the course, there's a course it takes. And Krishna also mentioned this very important point to Uddhava, that if you, after my departure, it's not a place for people to live. He says that to Uddhava. After I leave this world, this will not be a good place for people to live, because so many things will happen. Kali Yuga's different qualities, Krishna talks about it at that time. So, so it was then that Uddhava asked Krishna to instruct him on spiritual life. And Krishna talked to him, best thing will be to practice this yoga system, what I have spoken to Arjuna before, which I am going to talk to you now. Practice this yoga system and come back to the spiritual world. That's how Krishna puts it at that time. Otherwise, Krishna would have said to Uddhava, Uddhava, you stay here, it's a good place. You can as well stay here. Why you want to come and disturb me there or something? He didn't say that. He said, come back from here. This is not the place. All this is spoken in order that some vairagyam comes to our mind, some detachment from this world. In order that to build that up, Krishna has spoken about that very strongly. So, when things are spoken, sometimes we misunderstand also in these things. We think that the goal is, oh, because I am serving now, everywhere I go I will be simply serving. Therefore, liberation and all, I don't care anymore. It's not important for me. We are not, what is our service to Krishna at the end? What can we serve Him? One who is creating these billions and trillions of universes and maintaining them. Whatever little service will do to Him. But on the other hand, what Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is this centered around this one point, that the Krishna says this human body is particularly capable of achieving this goal. What is that? Labdhva sudurlabhamidam bahu sambhavande manushyam arthadam anityam abhihadhiraha turnam padet edet anumurtiyaval nishrayasaya vishaya khalu sarvatasyal. That before it drops off, before this material body drops off, Krishna says, if you take to this process, you can once for all escape from this cycle. That's what Krishna says. So from there you can understand that Krishna gives importance to that above everything else. How to free oneself from this cycle of birth and death, which is the most miserable thing, that we have to keep changing this body. And unless we escape from that, all other things are less important compared to that. That is what one can achieve in this body, Krishna says. But that's the greatest thing you can attain in this body. And even in the Bhagavatam again it says that Brahmava Loka Dishanam Udamapa Devaha, that Brahma, when he created other species, when all other species were created, Brahma did not feel happy about it. But when the human form was created, Brahma felt happy. Why? He said that in this body, something you can achieve in this. What is that? Liberation. Freedom from the cycle of birth and death. Only in this body. Not in any other species you can do this. You cannot do it in any other body. Only in the human body it is possible to get out of the cycle of birth and death. Instead of going around this 8.4 million different species all the time and still thinking about various other issues rather than this most important thing, we'll miss the boat. So that's why it is said that it is the most important thing to get out of this cycle of birth and death. One should preach Krishna consciousness, no doubt, and do service to Krishna. This is all a part of that process. But goal is that. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. Yes. Topmost. Yes.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Shishtashtakuna says, Mama Janmani
Janmani. Yes. Yes. Yes.
So, life after birth after
birth. Yes. 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 So, a bhakta will always speak like that. That is the first thing. Bhakta will not say that I will be liberated one day. No. Because it is understood, if we have reached that level of bhakti, for him there is no another Janmani again. There is no question of that. Because that is a stage much beyond than all these things. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this, Mama Janmani Janmani Ishwari Bhavadat Bhakti Rahaitu Gitvai, because Mahaprabhu is saying that if I have that kind of devotion to your lotus feet, What do I have to care about anything else? But how do we get there to that stage? That devotion of that kind, what Mahaprabhu is talking about, is not easily attainable for ordinary people. And in the process of achieving, if one achieves that devotion, then he is not in this material world anymore. He's already liberated, isn't it? Because when do you say you are liberated? Mahaprabhu explains in the Chishtashtagam itself, isn't it? He says this, that yatha tathava vidadha dilambano matprana nanastune evanapara, that ashlishyava padradam pinishtamam adarshanam marmahadam karotuva yatha tathava vidadha dilambano matprana nanastune evanapara. So Mahaprabhu is saying a stage where even this is not important, liberation. In other words, liberation is already included in that. Just like Vilumangalam said the same thing. Mukti swayam mugulidanjari jaiva asman dharmartha kamagadaya samaya pratiksha. Otherwise, in other words, once you have reached that state of devotion, he doesn't have to simply think about liberation. Liberation comes and stands with folded hands in front of that person. Liberation is already, it's already liberated. That is why many of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are, don't belong to this world. There's a word used there called Logabahya. Logabahya means one who is outside this world. What we consider proper in this world does not apply to him at that time. Many of the activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were on a liberated platform, isn't it? Like some of the pastimes with Haridas Thakur and in the sea, when he went in and Surup Damodar was trying to get back Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the sea back, he was in such ecstasy, he didn't know even that he was floating in the sea. So for that personality, what liberation means? Nothing. Liberation is finished. Liberation is all over. Consciousness has gone to such levels, there's no more discussion about liberation there. Liberation is only in the early stages. Like when one is advanced in spiritual life to that degree, once he's already liberated, he does not get affected by the modes of material nature. But a devotee state, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking about, is such that he is not only liberated, he has gone beyond than that to develop such attachment for Krishna. That is the Mahaprabhu's stage, what he is discussing about. So they are, yeah, the consciousness, yes, is so elevated for a devotee. But for us now, that's a stage which we can't discuss even. You see, that will come after going through Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita's holy name. All that is fast for that stage, before you get to that stage. And like Mahaprabhu was relishing mostly the pastimes of the gopis in Vrindavanam. He particularly took interest in that because he found that the gopis' love was so deep compared to anyone else. And he was relishing that relationship with the gopis and Krishna. So that is not for ordinary people. Yeah. Yes. What's that?
I don't know if you said any further about
that. What it means is, see, this word called hridayam, heart, in the shastram, and mechanical heart, they are two different things. But like in that verse, if you'll notice in Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara sarvabhudanam hrideshe arjuna tishtadi. That's what Krishna says, isn't it? Ishvara, the supreme controller, is present in every living entity in the hridesham. Hridesham means in the area somewhere in the body here, but it is not necessarily in the heart. It's not necessarily in the mechanical heart what we are talking about, because a lot of people misunderstand that. It is not that hridayam, which actually distributes the blood all over the body. That's not what it is referring to. Hridesha. Hridesha means in that area the soul is present. His presence is known there. So that is why sometimes people think that, oh, when you transplant the heart, Is the soul going along with that? All these questions are coming up from that. Soul is not something which you can analyze it in that way. It's not a material thing. It's a spiritual thing. And it is referred to as consciousness, isn't it? The presence of the soul is felt in the form of consciousness. So the freedom of the soul to move from one body to another, to manifest in one body or another body, is totally independent. It does not depend on our heart surgery or anything like that. It has nothing to do with it. So obviously we are so used to this concept that a vastu, a particular object, can only stay in one place. It cannot stay in another place, isn't it? This is how we normally are conditioned to think like that. For example, this mic is here. It is not existing there. But soul is not like that. Soul can manifest where it wants. If you read in the Bhagavatam, in Canto 11, the children of Krishabadev, children, Kavi, Hari, Andarisha, Prabuddha, Pipalayan, Avirhauta, Drumila, Chamasa, Karabaja, the nine sages, they could appear anywhere they wanted, as and when they wanted. Bhagavatam, it says like that. They were liberated souls, and they are traveling in the spiritual world all the time. When Nimi Maharaja is performing sacrifices, suddenly they come down from the sky. They could come down from the sky. How did they know that this sacrifice was going on? Although they were somewhere in the spiritual world, they came and appeared there. That is the power of the soul. Once you understand the way soul can work, it is beyond our material concepts. It is far beyond than that. That's why when they appeared, the way appeared and they disappeared also from the scene exactly the same way. As soon as they finished their discussions with King Nimi, immediately they disappeared from the scene. Nobody knows where they have gone. Sudeva Goswami appeared in front of Parikshit in the same way. As soon as the Bhagavatam was spoken, he left the scene. We have not seen him afterwards. Some people say that he has gone to the Tapolokam, where the great sages live in the higher planets. So, but he can come and go as and when he wants. He can appear and disappear as and when he wants. That is the great capacity of these great personalities. So that is a spiritual power they have achieved. And similarly, the soul also within the body has got that capacity to stay, decide to stay in one body, it will stay. When decides to leave, it will go. And it is not restricted by any space, or it's not restricted by any time. It's controlled by, okay, in our case, it's prarabdha karma is there, it is staying there. The body, it stays in the body. As soon as the prarabdham is finished, the body drops off and the soul leaves the body. Sometimes what happens is because we are so much used to the material way of seeing things, in a material way, everything we want to bring it to that level to understand for our own convenience. But spirit soul is not by any nature like that. Spirit soul has a complete different way of appearing, disappearing. Time and space, you cannot impose on that, like we do in the material calculations. One question. Say hi. Why do they come to the material world? Yes. No, it's not like that. Why they come? Because Krishna sends them. One. Why Krishna sends them? Because when he sees that the living entity is struggling in this material world without any goal and direction, what is the goal in life? He does not know. So he engages in all kinds of sinful activities and gets lost here in that process without any goal. He doesn't know what he has to do here. So when Krishna feels that compassion to the conditioned souls, he sends liberated souls here to give us an opportunity. When they come, they talk about God, they talk about Krishna, and they present the science of Krishna consciousness to the people properly. So they get an opportunity to hear about him, and they may utilize that opportunity to get out of this. So the only purpose of their coming here is to help the devotees who have a desire to leave this world. That's why even if you preach a lot, sometimes people don't take to it because they don't have any interest in that. And therefore, even many liberated, when Krishna was present here also, not everybody took to Krishna consciousness. Many of them have actually been working against Krishna. Krishna had to fight many wars against them in so many instances. So even when Krishna comes, if that's the case, you can imagine what happens when his servants come. How many people will take to it? So Krishna still sends his devotees in order to help those who have a desire to free themselves from this cycle of birth and death. And therefore we get some opportunity to meet such personalities. Otherwise it is difficult. You see, no matter, no doubt Krishna has left behind Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in this world. But in spite of that, when one see a great soul who has lived according to that, automatically people are attracted by that, isn't it? Like Srila Prabhupada's case. People got attracted to him because he was living exactly as the life of Bhagavatam mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So naturally, that makes a lot easier for people. People want an example in this world. They just don't want only literature. Even if you give literature, much easier, better than that is when they see some good example to follow. They get more attracted by that, easily affected by that, isn't it? So that's the reason, like in the Bhagavatam, Muchukunda was asked to come here. Muchukunda was asked to come here. He came as Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami is Muchukunda. So when Muchukunda could have gone back to the spiritual world, Krishna says to him, no, you will have to come down again once to present Krishna consciousness properly and comment on Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore he came down again, he lived as Sridhar Swami and wrote this commentary on Bhagavatam. So like this, it's always like that. All the great acharyas had come on Krishna's request. At different times, in different dresses they had come. But they all have come here only for this purpose, to take the conditioned souls away from this illusion. Yeah, carry on.
So we can know your consciousness a little better. Because also you were mentioning when you were speaking about the, I don't remember exactly, different, when we have food in the fridge.
Yeah, yeah.
And we keep it, and it goes through different,
yes. Yes, it does. Because tamogunam by nature, the food, Krishna says like this in the Bhagavad Gita, that anything cooked and kept more than 3 hours, is paryushidam chayal, he says like that. That it's already started decomposing. So the decomposing, what Krishna means to say is this, that anything which is not cooked and eaten properly will not develop sattvagunam. So when you say if it applies to prasadam also, yes, prasadam also, as long as it's going inside this body, whatever that is, it should be as much as possible. Krishna advises that you should prepare the food fresh to eat. This thing is only a modern thing, because fridge is only has been existing for last, say, how many years? 100 years or so, not more than that. I don't think even 100 years fridge was there. But prior to that, everyone cooked the food as and when it was required. It was not a practice to cook and store it for days together like these days. And it's not at all a good thing to cook for long and store for a long period of time. But what can I say more? That's become the acceptable situation in the world everywhere, isn't it?
Can I just read you? He says, of course, devotion and love are the chief things which the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts.
Yeah.
But it is also mentioned that prasadam should be prepared in a particular way.
Yes.
Which is what you're saying, it should be fresh.
Yes.
And any food prepared in the injunctions of the scripture and offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be taken even if prepared long ago, because such food is transcendental. Therefore, to make food antiseptic, eatable, and palatable for all persons, one should offer food to the Supreme Personality of God.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's preparation, and then once it's offered.
Yeah. Once the food is offered, and when it says prasadam, it has to be respected under any circumstance. No question of throwing prasadam away. That should be taken under any circumstances. But Krishna is saying there that sattugunam, in order to build up, not to build up sattugunam, it is necessary that one regulates his eating properly as far as the cooking and eating is concerned. When you go to big temples, for example, prasadam is sometimes not always necessarily that it is fresh. It could be cooked a few hours in advance. So that doesn't mean it's a question of understanding the situation also, that it is a temple prasadam, it should be taken in that way without any question. It is offered to Krishna. But when we come to our own life in this world, when we are living a life in this world, it is better to follow that instructions what Krishna has given in the Bhagavad Gita, if as much as possible, because that's all we can say about it. Huh? I don't know, everyone's food habits are different, isn't it? People have all different kinds of tastes. Like in the beginning, when Prabhupada was started cooking for the devotees and asking people to take, he had a diet which he has followed strictly. But over many years, so many other things had also come into the menu. It has also changed. And so, when does it become prasadam? That question will come then. Suppose we have cooked food for our own taste, then it's not prasadam really. We have cooked it for ourselves rather than cooking it for Krishna. Our understanding often is that because I have offered it to Krishna, what I have cooked for myself, that becomes prasadam. Well, question comes, whatever we are cooking, it should also become something which is what the acharyas have traditionally taught us to do, because they have the proper understanding of that. As much as possible, prasadam should be taken. Actually, prasadam should be taken always, but it should be based on the on the systems what was instructed by Prabhupada, and that is the best thing to do in that situation. Certainly, it's not a good thing if food is kept for a long period of time to eat that. It's not very pleasant, and it's also changes its form, shape, and taste, everything. And
Sometimes you take prasadam with you.
That understandable, yes. It's better to take prasadam with you rather than taking it from outside if you can avoid it. But certainly that's the best thing if one can do that.
2 points on that. One is the effect of having fresh food. You have tejas coming to come.
Yeah. Prabhupada's recommendations, various things you will see in the cookbooks, what devotees have prepared. many of those items in that cookbook has come from Prabhupada's recipes. Basic diet, what Prabhupada recommended for everybody was dal, rice, sabjis and chapati as the basic diet. And this is felt that if you have this on a regular basis, you should stay healthy. And it fulfills all the needs of the body. Can come from these things. Obviously, during feast and instances like that, you may have the other preparations. But on a regular basis, this is what Prabhupada has instituted originally. But it got changed in the process, in the tide of time. It all got changed. So many other things came in, pizzas and noodles and all other things. I didn't catch your point.
Both say that by this book, Bhagavatam, you can reach God. And Bhagavad Gita is Mahatmya.
Yeah.
By this book, you can reach God.
Yes. I understand. Yeah. What it means is, in the Mahatmyam, the glories of this, Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, they are both literature in connection with Krishna, isn't it? Both are, one is, as you know, one is about Krishna, one is spoken by Krishna. So, the goal of everything is Krishna. Goal is Krishna. Not the jnanam, karmam, bhakti. This is all the processes. But the goal is Krishna. So, in order to reach the goal, Krishna had two major disciples in this world, isn't it? One was Arjuna, another one was Uddhava. He didn't have thousands, he had only two disciples. Arjuna and Uddhava, whom he directly instructed. So, when we understand that through these instructions, Krishna has told this world what he has got to say. He has told this world what he has got to say through these two books, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, one who has come to spiritual life and wants to progress in spiritual path, if he takes these two books, there is complete in it, everything. But then the question will come, is Bhagavatam alone is enough? Or Bhagavad Gita alone is enough? That also you can ask that question. The answer to that is, if you have studied Bhagavad Gita very well, it will be difficult for you to keep your hands off Bhagavatam. Similarly, if you have taken Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, your mind will definitely go back to Bhagavad Gita. It will be difficult to stay out of Bhagavad Gita. Some people think, I'm only studying Bhagavad Gita, I won't touch Bhagavatam. Some people say, no, I only want to hear Bhagavatam, I don't want to hear about Bhagavad Gita. That's wrong, because they are complementing each other. In fact, as I mentioned before, Krishna's instructions to Uddhava is nothing but an expansion of what he has spoken to Arjuna. But two different qualifications there. Arjuna was a Kshatriya. He was in the middle age of his life, and he has to fight a battle there. So in order to make Arjuna understand and bring him to his path of Karma Yoga, Krishna has to speak Bhagavad Gita in a particular way to suit Arjuna's particular need at that time. Uddhava was leaving this world. For him, there is no point in talking about Karma Yoga at that time, is there? He has finished all that. For him, something else has required. So, depending on the qualification of the disciple, Krishna has spoken one way to Arjuna and in another way to Uddhava. So, at what age in life you come to spiritual life, you will find both of them are illuminating for a devotee. As long as one is attracted to Krishna consciousness or one wants to progress in Krishna consciousness, it is both of this literature you will find as the most enthusing for a devotee. It is not possible to say that I will only study Bhagavad Gita or I will only study Bhagavadam. They are both important equally. And it is also, you will notice that when you study Srimad Bhagavadam, that many of the things spoken in Bhagavadam is not different than what is already discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. Particularly in relationship with the different glorifications of the devotees, if you see, where did all that knowledge come from? It's all the same knowledge what Krishna has spoken to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. They are not different. They are not different. Except that one was spoken by Krishna, other was spoken about Krishna by Sudeva Goswami. That's all. So it is difficult to say that I will take one book. But if, because in the process of studying Srimad Bhagavatam, automatically the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita will also build up there. It's difficult to exclude that. Similarly, when you study Bhagavad Gita, natural way, the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam will come in there. They are both related like that. Many of the things what we have discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, it will come up again in Srimad Bhagavatam in many cases, like Varnashrama Dharmam, three modes of material nature. All these are topics again discussed in the Bhagavatam. What we are talking about is that the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is centered around these things. Certain things you will find, Bhagavatam is a lot more in depth, discusses things. And Karma Yogam, for example, in the Canto 11 and 12, you won't find a lot of discussion about Karma Yogam. It's very much limited. But as far as the bhakti process is concerned, it's a lot more elaborate. Krishna will talk everything, and at the end, he'll bring and tie it to bhakti at the end. Whether it is jnanam, whether it is karma, whether it's yogam, Krishna talks about all that in the Bhagavadam also, but he'll bring and tie it everything down to bhakti at the end. That's what Krishna has done. So you can see there, Krishna gives a lot of importance to bhakti in the Bhagavadam. Bhagavadam is a literature which stresses about bhakti very strongly. And that's why for a devotee, Bhagavadam is important. It's difficult not to take Bhagavadam seriously. But at the same time, those who have not come to that stage of bhakti in what Bhagavadam is referring to, he should begin with Bhagavad Gita. Because Bhagavad Gita begins with the science of the soul. In fact, most of the people in this age would require to study Bhagavad Gita before they can go into Bhagavadam. Because it is through Bhagavad Gita that we get an understanding of the importance of spiritual life. Otherwise, we will misunderstand things. That Bhagavadam doesn't go to such depth like Bhagavad Gita about the soul. It's not discussed anywhere in that way. Like the way soul is discussed in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And therefore, once we get a deeper understanding of the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam becomes a lot easier. Bhagavadam becomes a lot easier when you understood Bhagavad Gita very well. This is why I was saying that we study Bhagavad Gita first and then we move into Bhagavadam. It is not an option. It's not an option. It's both needed. Both needed, yes. Because what is Krishna left behind in this world prior to his departure is these two great literature, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah.
Can you just summarize again Bhakti's life?
Sorry? Summarize, Bhakti, Krishna says, if you take the chapter 12, the nature of a devotee, Krishna explains there, isn't it? Adveshta sarva bhudanam. Krishna says, who is a devotee? The question comes. Krishna's answer to that is, a devotee, Krishna says, he has no enmity towards anyone in this world. Maitra karuna evaja, he has friendship to all and karunyam. Karunyam means kindness to all other living entities. Because from Krishna's point of view, only a devotee has proper compassion to other living entities. This is very important because normally we think all these charitable organizations are merciful, compassionate to others. Or we say some big political leader is very kind to others. As far as Krishna is concerned, none of them are actually compassionate. Because unless we understand where we are living and life of this world properly, which a devotee understands what it is, his karunyam or mercy towards others is proper. That's how Krishna puts it. So, adveshta sarva bhudanam maitra karuna evaja. Nirmamo nirahangara sukha dukkha samakshami. Narmama. Narmama means one who has no mamada, no attachment to anything. He has come to this world, he will do his business and he is gone. That's how he sees this world. A place where he has to do certain things for Krishna's pleasure. And he sees everything from that angle. He does not say anything in this world is not connected to Krishna. Everything is connected to Krishna. But he will only use it for Krishna's sake, not seeing the things that it is for his happiness or his sense gratification that Krishna has created this world. He sees everything has been created for Krishna's pleasure. So, nirmamam. Only then nirmamatvam will come. Nirmamatvam means not that mamada, attachment to anything. Nirahangaram, free from the ego, for also ego. Samadukha sukakshami, equally placed in the happiness and distress. Then, adveshta sarvabhudanam, maitra karuna evaja, nirmamo nirahangara, sukadukha samashami. Sandushta sadadam yogi, that person is always satisfied. That is a symptom of a devotee. Krishna says he is not hankering all the time for something. Yadalpa dadanishchaya. And he is fixed up in his goal, what he wants to be, where he wants to go. Mayarpita manobuddhaya. And he has his intelligence mind is everything offered to me. In other words, it's absorbed in me. Mayarpita manobuddhir yamal bhakta samaya priyaha. Such a person is very, very dear to me, Krishna says. So those verses in the Bhagavad Gita, if you read from in chapter 12, there's about 8 or 9 verses from 12 onwards. If you read those verses, it gives you a very precise understanding of a devotee. Samadukha sukha sandushta sadam yogi yadalpa dadanishchaya mayarpita manobiddur yaman bhakta samaya priya yasmano dujade logo logano dujade chaya arsha amarsha bhayodvagir muktoya sajame priya. Yasmano dujade logo logano dujade jaya. He does not cause any anxiety in this world to anybody, any living entity. Nor he gets concerned about other things what goes on in this world. For example, people get very disturbed when wars are going on all over or fighting is happening. People get disturbed about it. A devotee, Krishna says, doesn't get disturbed because he knows that's the nature of the material world. He has the proper right understanding about it. So, yasman no dujade logo loga no dujade chaya. He does not disturb the world either, nor he allow the world to disturb him. Then, harsha amarsha bhaya udvageya muktoya sajame priya. Harsham, when something good happens, he doesn't get extraordinarily jubilant about it or feels elated about it. Nor, when things go wrong in this world, he gets disturbed over it. And he does not act in that way. It's always that mind is very stable in that way. This is all part of the devotional culture, when a devotee develops all these qualities in a natural way. So there is more verses after that. If you look in the 12th chapter. Yeah. Anabhaksha Sijardaksha Udasino Gadavyatha Sarvarambha Parityagi Yomal Bhakta Samay Priyam. Then Krishna says Anabhaksha, he has no much no abhaksha. Abhaksha means he's not asking for anything from this world. It's a very elevated consciousness of a person. Sujirdaksha Udasino Gadavyatha Sarvarambha Parityagi Yomal Bhakta Samay Priyam. Then devotees, this is talking about those who have surrendered to Krishna. That's what these devotees are all about. That they want only Krishna, nothing else. To such extent, they have surrendered to Krishna. And they are not even concerned whether they live or die. And all the time, their words, activities, and thoughts are completely absorbed in Krishna, in other words. And never allows the mind to get disturbed because of the sense enjoyment in any way. And because of the total detachment to the material world, they will not get impure by anything, by any of the things in this world. Then, Sarvarambha Parityagi Yomal Bhakta Samaya Priya Yona Hrishadi Nadveshti Nashojadi Nakamchadi Shubhashubha Parityagi Bhakti Manya Samaya Priya. In all these verses, you will notice one thing. Krishna has finished the verse saying, Yomal Bhakta Samaya Priya. Such a devotee is dear to me, he says. In all the verses, you will see. All these verses. Yomal Bhakta Samaya Priya. So, Yona Hrishadi Nadveshti Nashojadi Nakamchadi Shubha Ashubha Parityagi Bhakti Manya Samaya Priya. That he is not too much affected by the happiness and distress of this world. When good things come or bad things come, he is not disturbed about that. Because his attachment to Krishna is so deep that he will not be deviated from his goal. And Shamau Shatrauja Mitraja Tadha Manao Manayo Shidoshna Sugadukeshu Samasanga Vivarjidaha. He does not have to an enemy as well as a friend. He is equally situated, equally positioned himself. Somebody glorifies him or insults him, he does not get disturbed about that. In other words, none of the dualities of this world disturbs that person. Shidoshna Sugadukeshu Samasanga Vivarjidaha. Tulya Ninda Sudir Mauni, Sandushto Yene Kenachil, Anigeda Stiramadir Bhakti Manme Priyonara. Krishna says there that whether you are Ninda or Studi, glorification or the insult, whatever it is, he is always himself situated in his proper position. Anigeda Stiramadir Bhakti Manme Priyonara. Such a devotee is very, very dear to me. That is the nature of a devotee, what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes we say the 26 qualities of a devotee mentioned there in the later on in another chapter. Strictly speaking, these 26 qualities, what are mentioned there, is in relationship with the divine and demoniac nature. Divine and the demonic nature. For a divine personality, Krishna says these 26 qualities apply. And for a demoniac person, there are many other qualities mentioned there, isn't it? But you may have demonic nature. For example, as long as you come to Sattvagunam, you already are in a divine nature, isn't it? You're already in a divine nature, in Sattvagunam. But for a devotee, when Krishna says somebody is a devotee, he means to say that he will have these qualities, what he has talked about in the 12th chapter. That is expected from that devotee. At least that is the standard what Krishna has set for devotees. And that is what we should be aspiring for to get to that point. That's why it's spoken like that. And this chapter, Bhakti Yogam chapter particularly is important because it is in this chapter Krishna talks who is really a devotee. A devotee's real qualifications. And when you read, you can see and ourselves judge our situation with this in relationship with that. Where we are. If these qualities do exist in a person, then he cannot do things which are not proper. He would not do that automatically. He will know what's the right and wrong thing to do. Otherwise, we will start making judgments based on our mind. And in order to avoid that, Krishna has spoken them in this way, that it should be based on these qualifications. While talking about the Varnashrama Dharmam also, Krishna does exactly the same thing. He does not say that this should be the dress of a Brahmana, this should be a dress of a Kshatriya, this should be a dress of Vaishya, this should be a dress of Shudra. He didn't say that. What did he say? He said, when these qualities are there, he is a Brahmana. When these qualities are there, he is a Kshatriya. When these qualities are there, he is a Vaishya. And these are the qualities of Shudra. He only talked about the qualities of the person. Never spoken about the dress any time. Whether it is Varnam, whether it is Ashramam, whether it is a devotee, whether it is a sannyasi, no matter what it is. It's always for Krishna. It is that what is inside that matters. And the other thing in the Bhagavadam, you will also find there that when discussing about Varnashrama Dharmam, Krishna says like this, that the Arjuna, to Uddhava, he says, these qualities have been there in certain persons and they lived accordingly based on their qualities, what they had cultivated, or they were forced to act according to their qualities. In course of time, he said, what has happened was, all these qualities disappeared, but only the thread remained outside, and the tilak and the dhoti. But the inside changed. Just like if you have medicine in a bottle, only the label is there. The inside thing, inside the bottle, is something different. So that has happened. And that is what Krishna says there, that one should careful about. Because more important than the label is the material inside the bottle, isn't it? So if that is not taken note of, then we can also get affected by the label. And modern world is like that. Everything is label, isn't it? Label that matters, not what is inside. So I think we'll stop there and we'll start again when we get back. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I'll take it home and read.
I also have a letter from
Radha Shakti. Who? Radha Shakti.